This is the United States Dressage Federation's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. And on this week's episode, we're going to take a closer look at the USDF's sport horse programs. Later on, we'll be hearing from Christy Wysocki about the different sport horse education events that will be held this year. And after that, Coralie Hughes will be back to explain the biomechanics of the gates in our education segment. And in just a moment, Michael Bragdell will be here to tell us about the 2017 USDF Sport Horse Prospect Development Forum. But before we hear from Michael, we just want to mention the 2017 USDF Sport Horse Seminar that will be held at Iron Spring Farm in Coatesville, Pennsylvania, from August the 5th to the 6th. The two-day seminar will be about what to look for in the qualities of a dressage sport horse, and it will also serve as a prerequisite for becoming a USEF licensed dressage sport horse breeding judge. You'll find more information on the website under the Education tab on the USDF homepage at usdf.org by looking for Sport Horse Education. And speaking of Hilltop Farm, Michael Bragdell is Director of Training at the farm and Sport Horse Faculty Member. He's a co-presenter for this year's Sport Horse Development Forum, which takes place at Isabella Farms in Cypress, Texas. Again, those dates are May the 13th to the 14th. And Michael, this is something, of course, is dear to your heart. How long have you been doing this now?
Well, young horses, as probably as far as I can remember, even back in the day when I was in Sweden, I started working with young horses, and it's followed me through my career with horses pretty much.
What was it then about the young horses? I mean, I can identify with this a little bit, but what for you was the draw, the attraction to stay with those young horses and bring them along? Why that focus?
I think what really attracts me to the young horses is the progress that you see. It's so rewarding to see how quickly they progress through the different phases that you put them through. I don't know, that for me is very rewarding to see how smart they are and how quickly they can learn, as long as we present it and explain it in a good way.
Talk a little bit about that, what you're actually looking for, what your philosophy is now that you've established as an expert in young sport horses.
I think you, starting with the young horses, are looking at them, I like to see them sort of free and be able to look at the conformation. I think the conformation is a good piece to look at. It's not the only piece. I find the what's between the ears is a very important component as well. But the conformation, I think, is a very important piece that I look at, that it's a harmonious picture to look at. And then in terms of gaits, does the horse have three solid gaits? I think that's important too. And that's really where I start. You know, then later on we start working with them, you know, then the training process comes into play and you can determine of how well are they understanding what you're trying to apply. Are they answering the questions that I ask and so forth? Like how are they taking to it? But that comes into sort of more of the mental aspect of them. I mean, that part I don't think you really get to know until you actually start working with them.
And the age group that you start to work with them, talk a little bit about that time frame when you actually begin and the development of them, what your focus would be through the development of them from that young age too, which is, of course, is going to be the focus of the forum anyway.
As you know, we do a lot of in-hand shows here at Hilltop, and we already start early on sort of imprinting, if you want to call it that, with the foals being led next to the mares. And I think that is a starting point already there, where we teach them that humans are okay and that you can touch them and you can lead them. And then it progresses along their younger years until you get to the point where it's time to get them ready for the starting process, which is a sort of a whole different phase. But yeah, for me, it already starts when they're weanlings and yearlings and 2-year-olds.
So talk about your approach a little bit through that age, what your kind of expectations are. I know each horse is very individual, but just globally, your thoughts on developing them between those very formative years of 3 to 5 when they're ready to go on to show, Michael.
The horses that we start under saddle, I think what we look for a lot is, or what I look for a lot in my way of working with them is, A, getting them accustomed to being touched, and that they follow the bending rein, that when you apply the aid to the inside leg, for example, that you're getting the reaction that you want. And I do spend a lot of time working the horses on the ground, getting them to give through the rib cage already from the ground. And I feel it really helps me when it comes time for me to get on their back and then teach them it from the back. If I can already teach it from the ground, such a simple thing as a gentle leg yield out to the rail, it makes my life so much easier to when I'm sitting on. Yeah, and I think that for me, the groundwork is really something that I put a lot of focus on. I think that really helps me when I'm starting to ride them under saddle.
And having watched you present these forums, Michael, it is obviously apparent that less is more is your basic philosophy when you're teaching them from in hand, as you say.
Yeah.
Things that will easily then become adaptable when you're in the tack.
Yeah, and I find it so interesting with the horses in the groundwork. It's oftentimes if you can get them to answer 10% towards the answer that you want, if you can reward that 10%, next time they will give you 50 or 60%, and next time they will give you 80 or 90%. You know, they're so quick to learn. If we just know how to ask the question and reward the answer they give, and it doesn't even have to be completely correct. If it's direction of the right answer, if we're quick enough to reward that, it will make them start thinking and utilize the muscle between the ears. And I think that's a huge piece that we can get them to think a little bit of what it is we are asking them in every aspect of the training.
What would you say you would regard as your main skills then, Michael, as a young horse trainer?
You know, there's so many different ways in how to train a horse, how to start a horse, and how to bring them up the levels. I think what I bring to the table is probably the groundwork. I really spend a lot of time with the groundwork, and I think that is maybe something that a lot of people have not seen so much, not to the extent that I do. It goes beyond lunging or long lining. So, and I think that is a great piece to have.
Absolutely. And tell us a little bit about the background as to how you got involved with the USDF Sport Horse Prospect Development Forum in the first place.
Well, I've known Scott Hassler for many years. I was a working student when he was here at Hilltop, and he initiated the Young Horse Trainer Symposiums back in, I believe it was in 2005, and that sort of where we got more involved with the young horses. And it was just recently Christy Wysocki invited me to be a speaker at the Young Handler and Breeder Seminars that they had at Devon. And there our conversation sort of started about this Sport Horse Prospect Development Forums. And that's sort of how I got reeled in and invited. And I felt very honored to be asked and to participate in this. And Willie Arts is also somebody, it was fun to connect with him in a training forum. I've known Willie too for a few years, but it's been mainly at the horse shows, and we've talked a little briefly, never actually had a chance to work together. So that was fun as well.
So those that are listening might want to know a little bit more about what they could expect. Can you give them any key points here?
Well, I think what we're looking for is giving them a little bit guidelines of adding to their repertoire, of giving maybe them some more tools that they can use in their way of starting young horses. you know, like I said earlier, I there are so many different ways in doing it. And Willie does it a little bit different than I do. Scott does it a little bit different than I do. But it's, I think it's being able to work together and highlight our strengths and adding to our toolbox of tools that we use for every different horse. Each horse is a different individual, and it gives us every horse gives us an opportunity to bring out maybe a different set of tools to address a training hurdle.
That sounds like a very solid basis for it, and I think that will help as people prepare to come to the forum there in May. And before you go, I'm going to get three of those tools from you. What those three tips maybe would be for bringing on a young horse, Michael?
I think you have to be, as a trainer, you have to be patient. I think that's a very big piece, and take your time in what you're doing. You know, it's still being able to progress and feeling that you're making groundway, but having the patience and knowing that and believing in the system that you're using. And then I think when you're asking questions, sometimes there's different ways of asking a question to a horse, and maybe they didn't understand a certain question. So you can approach it a little bit different and help them along the way, so they will give you the right answer that you're asking. And well, you're putting me on the spot with three. I'm just going back to patience, because I really feel like that is such a big, important part of training the young horse. If you're patient, then that's a big, important step, and it puts you on the right track of starting a young horse, I think, and bringing them along.
And I guess it goes as far as to say that this will put you on the right track every day. So whenever you approach your young horse to take him out of the barn, be sure you're in the right frame of mind. You know, you're not going through some personal drama and you're dealing with your own emotions. You really have to leave those in the house, right?
Yeah. I think that is very, very key. It's hard, I think, to be non-emotional when you're dealing with horses. You kind of have to be in some ways. It's hard, you know. I love the horses that I have in my barn. I love the horses and I love the job that I have. But I feel sometimes you have to be able to emotionally disconnect yourself a little bit. So if the horse doesn't do the right thing, you don't take it personally. You say, okay, well, maybe I need to approach it a little bit differently. You will get further along faster if you deal with it like that way. Like you said, leaving your emotions at home is a very important part of it.
Well, good advice. Are there any final thoughts that you would like to leave with our listeners, Michael, as they plan to attend there in May?
I hope a lot of people will come and will join us for the forum. And if they do come, which I hope they will, I hope they will have a ton of questions for Willie and I. I think without the questions from the audience, it won't be as productive or as useful for the people who come. So the more questions, the better. I think that's very important, to be interactive like that.
Yes, for sure. And that leaves them with something to think about now between now and May. Prepare
exactly,
your notes.
Exactly.
Yes, make your notes. All right, Michael. Well, thank you very much indeed for taking time to come on the program and telling us about that. And we look forward to that again. The dates are May 13th to the 14th at Isabella Farms in Cypress, Texas. If you want more information, you can find it by emailing sporthorse@usdf.org. Michael, good to catch up with you. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
And Michael will be featured with his co-presenter there, Willie Arts, in the May edition of the USDF Connection magazine. And I'm joined now by Christy Wysocki, who is chair of the USDF's Sport Horse Committee. She's going to tell us about all the sport horse opportunities that will be taking place this year. Christy, welcome back to the program.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, now, as chair of the USDF Sport Horse Committee, you'll be looking forward to some great events coming up this summer in the country and in around the country, something for everyone in terms of sport horse development. And there are three main events I think you wanted to focus on to explain to our wider USDF membership what it is that's taking place and what the opportunities are for them.
Yes, we have three big events coming up. The first of those three is going to be held May 13th and 14th at Isabel Farms in Cypress, Texas. It is our Sport Horse Prospect Forum. Willie Arts and Michael Bragdell will be the hosts for that event, and they will be working with approximately 8 horses each day, discussing the fundamentals for starting sport horses under saddle. They'll include sessions that might involve working in hand, how to teach a horse to lunge, how to put your foot in the stirrup the very first time, and then to progress from there to develop a good foundation on a young 3 or 4 year old so that they can become a good dressage horse. So that'll be May 13th and 14th in Cypress, Texas. The applications for horses have already closed, so the process is occurring right now to choose the horses that will be used in that forum. And you can go online on the USDF website to sign up to be an auditor. This forum is designed for anybody, breeders, owners, someone looking for a trainer for their young, perhaps they might have a 2 or 3 year old that they want to get started soon and they don't know who to use. It's a good opportunity to evaluate riders that ride young horses and try to find the ideal one for your horse. It's also good for people who are just interested in learning more about the fundamentals of correct training with the young horse. So the auditor situation is open to anyone that would like to join us. And that information is on the USDF website.
Right, as it is for all of these, of course. So tell us about the next one. This is a youth young adult breeder seminar.
Yes, we started this last summer. The Sport Horse Committee, when we talk about Sport Horse in relationship to USDF, we basically mean the young horses from the current year foals all the way up to about 3 and 4 years old and the breeding stock. It's that end of the dressage discipline, the breeding and the raising of the young horses. And last year, 2 years ago, we actually started our first youth young adult program. But last summer, we started our first breeder seminar designed for youth and young adults. And this will be held this year at DG Barr Farms in Hanford, California. The dates are July 1st and 2nd. And this seminar is designed, the attendees can be 14 to 27. If they are under 18, they must also have a guardian with them, and there is a fee for the guardians to attend also to cover their meals, because we do provide lunch, and there will be a pizza party on Saturday night. But anyway, the seminar itself is designed around introducing these young people to what life on the breeding farms are like. This year at DG Barr, our major presenters will be Willie Arts, who is the head trainer at DG Barr, Kevin Reinig, who is also very involved with young horses and very good with starting the young horses, not only under saddle, but also in hand. And then Melissa Creswick, who is one of our sport horse breeding judges, will also be there and be doing a few lectures on conformation and movement of the dressage horse. So it's a 2-day seminar, and the kids and young adults, I think people in their 20s are kids, myself, but at any rate, these people will be introduced to what it's really like at the breeding farm and what the different opportunities are if you're interested in working on a breeding farm. There aren't just the people who take care of the horses and ride the horses, train the horses, but there's also most of the farms nowadays have IT-type people there to work on their websites, and they have managers that take care of the ordering and delivering of semen for breeding and that kind of thing. And so it really is a wide spectrum of opportunities at breeding farms. So we started this last summer, and we're very excited to have our second one held at DG Barr this summer.
I know from last year, Christy, as you say, it was the first time, but we had tremendous response from it. The attendees got an awful lot of, from this in terms of, you know, getting into the industry and what they need to know. All, as you say, all of those different aspects. Some very positive feedback from last year. So do you expect more numbers this year? Do you, what are your expectations?
We're hoping for a big crowd again. We did have 24 participants last summer, and we had 13 guardians. Although only three of those were required, we do allow any of the young adults to bring one additional adult with them if they would like to travel with their parent or their trainer or something. It's only required for those that are under 18. We had 13 guardians, quote unquote, attend also. Because the information that was provided and the demonstrations that were given in the arena and such were so exciting to everybody that it was really a great program and a great learning experience for everybody involved. We're hoping to draw quite a few kids from the West Coast because last year it was on the East Coast and primarily the attendees were from the East Coast area.
Okay, wonderful opportunity there for young people coming into the sport. And finally, the Sport Horse Seminar, how is that different? Tell us about the focus and function of that then, Christy.
The Sport Horse Seminar is the original program that the Sport Horse Committee has been running for probably 20 years now. This seminar is designed for anyone who wants to learn more about the sport horse. It is also a requirement for anyone who wants to become a dressage sport horse judge licensed through the USEF, and they must attend two of these seminars before they can apply to go through the judges program. But it's really designed for anyone who is interested in learning more about the sport horse. And this is a very intense 2 days of learning about the conformation and the movement of what we're looking for in a dressage horse. This year's seminar is going to be held at Iron Spring Farms in Coatesville, Pennsylvania, and the dates are August 5th and 6th. It's a great seminar to learn more about the horse, and it makes it great for anybody, even if they're not interested in breeding, they can go home and look at their own horse and understand more about how the conformation and the movement relate to each other. So it is about 40% classroom with a wonderful PowerPoint presentation with lots of pictures of lots of horses and different conformation faults and movement of horses so that they can learn. And then we go to the arena at Iron Spring Farms, and we will actually use live horses to then demonstrate to the participants what we were showing them on the PowerPoint. We will then demonstrate to them with live horses, so because sometimes it's much easier to see on a picture than it is on a 1,200-pound horse that's moving.
And the presenters for that sport horse seminar?
It will be Sue Madden-Mandis, who is one of our sport horse judges. She's also a USEF S judge, and I will be the other presenter. The two of us will work with the individuals, and they also get hands-on experience with the horses at this seminar.
Is there anything else you would like our wider membership to know, Christy, about these? All of these come under your remit, of course, at the USDF Sport Horse Committee. Is there any other information you'd like to share now? And as I said, we can send them to the website as well for more details.
Correct. All three programs are really unique in their own way. So they don't. Some of the subject matter will be the same in minute ways, but all of the programs are unique. So an individual could actually go to all three and learn a great deal of information and not feel like they were just repeating the same thing over again, because the focus of each of the three programs is entirely different. So we hope that people will come and join us and learn more about their horse or what to look for when they're out shopping or when they want to breed their mare to a stallion, how to better choose that stallion. So all three of these programs are, we welcome everyone to join us.
Well, thank you very much, Christy. Always helpful to know the very details of these various seminars that are being spread out around the country so everyone has an opportunity to learn more about sport horse development. Thank you very much for your time, Christine, coming on the program.
Yes, thank you for having me, and thanks for sharing this information to our members.
And you can, of course, find more information on the website at usdf.org, where you can also register for any of these sport horse events. And now, in our education segment, we're going to be hearing from Coralie Hughes again. This is part three of a four-part series that was recorded at the 2016 Adequan USDF Annual Convention. Coralie, who is a certified practitioner of the Masterson Method of Performance Equine Bodywork, will be discussing the biomechanics of the horse's gaits.
So in dressage, we take the biomechanics of trot, where you have the back contract, relax, left, right, and then, but the back, for every moment of suspension, it has to rise up, and that's the moment when it's got to relax, because if it's not relaxed, it's getting sucked down. It's interesting what the back does at a canter. At the canter, the lead side of the canter, there's a lot more contraction on that side and relative relaxation on the whole outside part of the canter, of the entire body, because both legs are coming forward. And so there's everything is more contracted on the lead side of the canter. And that's why the canter can relax a horse who's been trotting. And if they've trotted a long time, they really want a canter. It's to relax their back, because half of the back isn't working very hard. Just the inside of the back is. And so while the canter can improve a trot and relax the back of a horse as a canter break. Okay, so then building on how the legs move, the biomechanics of canter, the biomechanics of trot, made very simple. And then how you bend and how you collect. Dressage takes all of that and smooshes it all together, starts getting like, wow, no wonder it's hard for horses to learn how to do this, because it's an awful lot of moving parts. So for example, take a shoulder in. You all know what a shoulder in is. The shoulders are in off the track, but the hindquarters are marching down the track. So for me, being a horse, doing a shoulder in, the outside of my body has to be very supple to be able to come around. But my outside front leg, my pectoral muscles have to allow that leg to abduct. And then when that leg comes down and plants, it plants, and then the pectoral muscles pull the whole body over that front leg. And then the travers, of course, it's the opposite. The outside of the back half of the horse has to be incredibly supple on the outside of the horse, and the inside hind leg comes forward, which is actually away from the body. So when that inside hind leg steps and plants, it pulls the entire body forward by the groin muscles. The groin muscles are the hamstrings. And so when I started thinking about the power of those muscles, that they aren't moving a leg, we talk about abducting and adducting, and it sounds so simple. No, they're pulling the entire body. And so those muscles get so overworked. The pectoral muscles on a lot of dressage horses are on fire, and their hamstrings as well, because they work so hard. And you take then a half pass, and that's kind of pushing those two together. And because you have to have then even bend through and even suppleness throughout the entire horse. And now we have true crossing of the front legs and true crossing of the back legs. And so it becomes it's a huge deal to develop a horse to be able to do a really good half pass. And so for me, when I work with horses, there are three stages for everything. One, because I've learned the Masterson method and I know how to release tension in muscles, and anybody can learn it, that I statically want to release the horse. When, you know, something is just not right and the horse can't move well anymore, and I used to be able to do a half pass and now it's really bad today, if I think I asked right, if I think I was sitting right correctly, then I need to start looking in the body of the horse for what's wrong. And so you can release the muscles all over the body and put the whole musculoskeletal system back in neutral. And then they're free to go do their job again. And then to me, like when I rehab, I've rehabbed a number of eventers. So that's one piece. And then there's a piece of groundwork where it's getting the back to lift again, because the back has gotten stuck down and the neck has gotten stuck. And so you have to get everything to let go. You have to do it in location statically, but you also have to do it dynamically. And I do that before I would ever get on the horse's back to retrain aids or anything like that. So it's a long process to put them back together again, but it's amazing what you can do. Okay, so excessive muscular tension, a lot of people will say, well, my muscles hurt, I just take an aspirin and keep going. And that's true. We can just give the horses bute and ask them to keep going. But there's one reason that excessive muscular tension is so important for us to think about for our horses is because, number one, they're athletes. Number two, they're not asking to go out and do dressage. We're kind of making them. But it's because of the health of the horse and because they're easier to ride and train if they can use their body at all. Excessive negative tension is absolutely not benign. 60% of career-limiting injuries are soft tissue. 60%. And so in soft tissue, it all comes down to the muscles because the muscles pull on the tendons can't take that much pressure, and the tendons pulling too hard then distorts the joint, and then the ligaments get disturbed because the joint is getting distorted. So there are a lot of things that cause excessive muscle tension. And what happens in the back, because we talk so much about the back in dressage, is really very interesting because the muscles maintain a normal tension on each vertebrae. And we talked about how we have tiny little spaces that can give some kind of movement in the back. And for dressage, we need to maximize every single joint space. We can't lose any of them to get the kind of bend and mobility we wanted in a dressage horse. But when you have any spasm along that chain, it fixes a vertebrae. And when a vertebrae fixes, inflammation sets in. And when inflammation sets in, you have a chain reaction of muscles again. And then it just sets up a whole vicious cycle. But the kinds of things that cause excessive negative tension are things like unbalanced loading. I'm a two-legged. I am massively right-handed. And if some of you want to try this, it's really kind of interesting. If you stand quietly on your feet, and if you can just completely let your body go, close your eyes, completely let your body go, just completely relax. I went over to my right side. There are some people that go forward or back, and that tells you something too. And so that's the dominance of my right side. And we all are uneven. Because we use the right sides, it's much heavier. Here's something you can do at home. When someone is riding, while they're standing, but on a horse, just go and, if they are not offended by you doing it, kind of jiggle their knee or jiggle their lower leg on the left side and on the right, and you'll be shocked at how much heavier and how clamped on the right leg is, just because it's by nature heavier. And that really impacts the aids and the balance that we have on the horse. So, but unbalanced loading is really important in us, and so that's why my left SI always hurts. So in the horse is a four-legged creature, obviously, and so they load diagonally. And loading diagonally means the left hind and the right front are going to be tighter and tighter and tighter, absent any other kind of issue like a sore right hock or something. Because they're a four-legged creature, they're going to load and they're going to get progressively tighter on the left hind and the right front. 90% of horses. 10% go the other diagonal. So that just because they're a four-legged creature running around, they're going to get tighter left hind and right. And then repetitive work. We as humans, we want to perfect those circles. We want to perfect that shoulder in. Drilling causes a horse to overuse certain muscles and then going too much in one direction because we have a direction that our own bodies are more comfortable in, and we don't realize that we spend a whole lot of time going to the right and very little to the left or whatever it might be. And that starts putting unnatural tension in certain muscle groups. And when you have unnatural tension, we've been talking about, you create unnatural tension in the related muscles, and then the fascia carries it throughout the whole body.
And in the concluding part of this series, Coralie will be back to share with us how and why horses get sore. And finally, a reminder that the deadlines are approaching to pre-register to audit the 2017 USDF Sport Horse Prospect Forum, with auditor pre-registration closing on April 28th. And we'll put a link in the show notes to these sport horse opportunities that you will find on the website at usdf.org. Don't forget that you can download this podcast from the iTunes podcast store. The subscription is free, and you can download it then to any podcast app such as Stitcher or Podbean. For more educational opportunities and resources, be sure to visit eTrack at usdf.org for regular updates. And to keep up with when the latest podcast is available, be sure to follow us on social media on the USDF's official Facebook page and on Twitter. Until the next time, thank you for listening wherever you are in the world, and remember, the USDF is your connection to the American dressage community.